Section 1, Present Opportunities.
Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Isaiah 27, 6.
Chapter 1, Our Work.
What is our work? The same as that given to John the Baptist, of whom we read, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." See in Matthew 3, verses 1 to 3. All who are truly engaged in the work of the Lord for these last days will have a decided message to bear. Read the first few verses of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. See verses 6 through 8. This chapter is filled with instruction appropriate for us at this time. The word of the Lord to us is, Repent ye, prepare the way for a revival of my work. The removal to Washington of work hitherto carried on in Battle Creek is a step in the right direction. We are to continue to press into the regions beyond where the people are in spiritual darkness. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Refer back to verse 4. Every obstacle to the redemption of God's people is to be removed by the opening of His word and the presentation of a plain, Thus saith the Lord. The true light is to shine forth, for darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. The truth of the living God is to appear in contrast with error. Proclaim the good tidings. We have a Savior who has given His life that those who believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Obstacles to the advancement of the work of God will appear, but fear not. To the omnipotence of the King of Kings, our covenant-keeping God unites the gentleness and care of a tender shepherd. Nothing can stand in His way. His power is absolute, and it is the pledge of the sure fulfillment of His promises to His people. He can remove all obstructions to the advancement of His work. He has means for the removal of every difficulty, that those who serve Him and respect the means He employs may be delivered. His goodness and love are infinite, and His covenant is unalterable. The plans of the enemies of His work may seem to be firm and well established, but He can overthrow the strongest of these plans, and in His own time and way He will do this, when He sees that our faith has been sufficiently tested and that we are drawing near to Him and making Him our counselor. In the darkest days, when appearances seem so forbidding, fear not. Have faith in God. He is working out His will, doing all things well in behalf of His people. The strength of those who love and serve Him will be renewed day by day. His understanding will be placed at their service, that they may not err in the carrying out of His purpose. There is to be no despondency in God's service. Our faith is to endure the pressure brought to bear upon it. God is able and willing to bestow upon His servants all the strength they need. He will more than fulfill the highest expectations of those who put their trust in Him. He will give them the wisdom that their varied necessities demand. Said the tried Apostle Paul, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Oh, my brethren, hold the beginning of your confidence firm unto the end. The light of God's truth is not to be dimmed. It is to shine amidst the darkness of error that enshrouds our world. The Word of God is to be opened to those in the high places of the earth as well as to those in the more lowly. The Church of Christ is God's agency for the proclamation of truth. She is empowered by Him to do a special work, and if she is loyal to God, obedient to His commandments, there will dwell within her the excellence of divine power. If she will honor the Lord God of Israel, there is no power that can stand against her. If she will be true to her allegiance, the forces of the enemy will be no more able to overpower her than is the chaff to resist in the whirlwind. There is before the church the dawn of a bright, glorious day. If she will put on the robe of Christ's righteousness, withdrawing from all allegiance to the world, the members of the church need now to confess their backsliding and press together. My brethren, allow nothing to come in that will separate you from one another or from God. Talk not of differences of opinion, but unite in the love of truth as it is in Jesus. Come before God and plead the shed blood of the Savior as a reason why you should receive help in the warfare against evil. You will not plead in vain. As you draw near to God with heartfelt contrition and in full assurance of faith, the enemy who seeks to destroy you will be overcome. Turn to the Lord, ye prisoners of hope. Seek strength from God, the living God. Show an unwavering, humble faith in His power and His willingness to save. From Christ is flowing the living stream of salvation. He is the fountain of life, the source of all power. When in faith we take hold of His strength, He will change, wonderfully change, the most hopeless, discouraging outlook. He will do this for the glory of His name. God calls upon His faithful ones who believe in Him to talk courage to those who are unbelieving and hopeless. May the Lord help us to help one another and to prove Him by living faith. Psalms 81, verses 1 and 2. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm, and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Psalms 92, verses 1 to 4 says, It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Psalms 95, verses 1 to 6. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalms 96, verses 1 to 4 says, Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Chapter 2. The Commission.
It is God's purpose that his people shall be a sanctified, purified, holy people, communicating light to all around them. It is his purpose that, by exemplifying the truth in their lives, they shall be a praise in the earth. The grace of Christ is sufficient to bring this about. But let God's people remember that only as they believe and work out the principles of the gospel can he make them a praise in the earth. Only as they use their God-given capabilities in his service will they enjoy the fullness and power of the promise whereon the church has been called to stand. If those who profess to believe in Christ as their Savior reach only the low standard of worldly measurement, the church fails to bear the rich harvest that God expects. Found wanting is written upon her record. The commission that Christ gave to his disciples just before his ascension is the great missionary charter of his kingdom. In giving it to the disciples, the Savior made them his ambassadors and gave them their credentials. If afterward they should be challenged and asked by what authority they, unlearned fishermen, went forth as teachers and healers, they could reply, He whom the Jews crucified, but who rose from the dead, appointed us to the ministry of his word, declaring, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Christ gave this commission to his disciples as his chief ministers, the architects who were to lay the foundation of his church. He laid upon them and upon all who should succeed them as his ministers the charge of handing his gospel down from generation to generation, from age to age. The disciples were not to wait for the people to come to them. They were to go to the people, hunting for sinners as a shepherd hunts for lost sheep. Christ opened the world before them as their field of labor. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, see Mark 16:15. It was of the Savior that they were to preach, of his life of unselfish service, his death of shame, his unparalleled, unchanging love. His name was to be their watchword, their band of union. In his name they were to subdue the strongholds of sin. Faith in his name was to mark them as Christians. Giving the disciples further directions, Christ said, Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. See Acts 1, verse 8, and Luke chapter 24, verse 49. In obedience to the word of their master, the disciples assembled in Jerusalem to wait for the fulfillment of God's promise. Here they spent 10 days, days of deep heart searching. They put away all differences and drew close together in Christian fellowship. At the end of 10 days, the Lord fulfilled his promise by a wonderful outpouring of his Spirit. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and begun to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. See Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4 and 41. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. See Mark 16:20. Notwithstanding the fierce opposition that the disciples met, in a short time the gospel of the kingdom had been sounded to all the inhabited parts of the earth. The commission given to the disciples is given also to us. Today, as then, a crucified and risen Savior is to be uplifted before those who are without God and without hope in this world. The Lord calls for pastors, teachers, and evangelists. From door to door, his servants are to proclaim the message of salvation. To every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, the tidings of pardon through Christ are to be carried. Not with tame, lifeless utterance is the message to be given, but with clear, decided, stirring utterances. Hundreds are waiting for the warning to escape for their lives. The world needs to see in Christians an evidence of the power of Christianity. Not merely in a few places, but throughout the world, messengers of mercy are needed. From every country is heard the cry, "Come over and help us!" Rich and poor, high and low, are calling for light. Men and women are hungering for the truth as it is in Jesus. When they hear the gospel preached with power from on high, they will know that the banquet is spread for them, and they will respond to the call, "Come, for all things are now ready." Luke 14:17. The words, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," as found in Mark 16:15, are spoken to each one of Christ's followers. All who are ordained unto the life of Christ are ordained to work for the salvation of their fellow men. The same longing of soul that he felt for the saving of the lost is to be manifest in them. Not all can fill the same place, but for all there is a place and a work. All upon whom God's blessings have been bestowed are to respond by actual service. Every gift is to be employed for the advancement of his kingdom.
Chapter 3, An Unchanging Promise.
Christ made full provision for the prosecution of the work entrusted to the disciples and took upon himself the responsibility of its success. So long as they obeyed his word and worked in connection with him, they could not fail. Go to all nations, he bade them. Go to the farthest part of the habitable globe, but know that my presence will be there. Labor in faith and confidence, for the time will never come when I will forsake you. To us also the promise of Christ's abiding presence is given. The lapse of time has wrought no change in his parting promise. He is with us today as truly as he was with the disciples, and he will be with us even unto the end. Go forth preaching the gospel to all nations, the Savior says to us, that they may become children of God. I am with you in this work, teaching, guiding, comforting, strengthening you, giving you success in your work of self-denial and sacrifice. I will move upon hearts, convincing them of sin, and turning them from darkness to light, from disobedience to righteousness. In my light they shall see light. You will meet the opposition of satanic agencies, but put your trust in me. I will never fail you. Think you not that Christ values those who live wholly for him? Think you not that he visits those who, like the beloved John, are for his sake in hard and trying places? He finds his faithful ones and holds communion with them, encouraging and strengthening them. And angels of God that excel in strength are sent forth by God to minister to his human workers who are speaking the truth to those who know it not. To the minister of the gospel, God has given the work of guiding to Christ those who have wandered from the narrow way. He is to be wise and earnest in his efforts. At the end of each year, he should be able to look back and see souls saved as the result of his labors. Some he is to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. See Jude 23 and Titus 1:9. Paul's charge to Timothy comes to the ministers of today. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. See 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. But it is not only upon those who preach the word that God has placed the responsibility of seeking to save sinners. He has given this work to all. Our hearts are to be so filled with the love of Christ that our words of thanksgiving shall warm other hearts. This is service that all can perform, and the Lord accepts it as offered to himself. He makes it efficacious, imparting to the earnest worker the grace that reconciles man to God. May the Lord help his people to realize that there is earnest work to be done. May he help them to remember that in the home, in the church, and in the world they are to work the works of Christ. They are not left to labor alone. The angels are their helpers, and Christ is their helper. Then let them labor faithfully and untiringly. In due season they will reap, if they faint not. The Christian pilgrim does not yield to his desire to rest. He moves steadily forward, saying, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." This is his motto. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14.